B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
So, Junis, what's your must-watch this weekend?
Out of the four football games?
So you got, it's a pretty good sports weekend.
They got Sixers. I mean, tonight, you have Mavs Lakers.
I know.
And I'm locked in on that.
I know. And I'm thinking about trying to go.
Oh, that's right. You should. You might not
have.
Depends.
I don't know what time we're going to land.
What sucks is you might not have Anthony Davis or Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah.
Which stinks.
I'm fired up. I can't wait to see Doncic. Ban on Luka? That's incredible.
And he missed the game last time in Philly.
Yes.
It sucked.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. But I can't wait for that game tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm pumped. But must watch NFL-wise.
What's the one game you have the most interest in?
I am really interested in the Deshaun Watson-Patrick Mahomes matchup.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the over-under is like 51.5. So it's going to be a high-scoring game. So I'm interested to see that. Obviously, Green Bay-Seattle, because I just want to see Green Bay beat the doors off Seattle. But if I were to go must-watch NBA, other than the Sixers, I'd go Lakers-Mavs tonight. And then this weekend, I'd probably go more so Chiefs-Texans.
Yeah, that's a great game. That's a great game.
Although the Texans
I'll tell you the other one.
I don't know.
Monday night's a great game.
Oh, Clemson LSU.
Oh, my God. That's I'm going to DVR that game. That game's ridiculous. That's a beast of a game.
I'm rooting Clemson because I want them to be in it. I'm afraid that it's another, like, Thomas
LSU
is a good coach.
Will not blow out Clemson.
You think so? Okay, good.
They will not. But that's going to be a good game. But LSU won't blow them out.
But I'm pulling for Clemson. But I think that's another game that's going to go over.
I have a tough. To me, it's tough to pick that game. Forget about who's going to win. I love Ogeron.
Oh yeah, Coach O.
I mean, what's not to love about that dude?
I think I say I'm rooting Clemson.
He's one of the great characters in all sports,
yes.
Coach O.
I think I say I'm rooting Clemson
Coach O.
Because I might be putting money on Clemson. But other than that, like, it's one of those games where you sit back and you just enjoy. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you don't really have a rooting interest, so you just sit back and watch it happen.
You got to get, yeah, it's true. You got to get some Coach O. Get some Coach O sound. VG on the text board, must watch Penn-Princeton today at 5. That's great basketball.
At the Palestra or Princeton?
Penn-Princeton. I think it's at the Palestra. Yeah, pretty sure. Let's go to Tony. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Tony.
What's going on, man?
What's happening, Tone?
Oh, man, everybody keeps saying Ben is untradeable. I think he's not. What do you think?
What do you mean untradeable?
I mean, they say don't trade Ben, but Ben is the problem with the team.
Oh, yeah, I completely disagree with you.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Embiid needs to operate for Embiid to be real dominant like he's supposed to be. He needs to be 10 feet away from the basket, 10 to 8 feet away from the basket. Horford showed you the reason why he needs to be 10 to 8 feet away from the basket. And now you got your point guard. He needs to be the same distance as your power forward and your center for him to be successful.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I don't think, first of all, You have intermittent low block types. Horford could be a spot up 3-point shooter as he can. He's done that, so he can. He's already done that though, Tone.
I know. I understand that, man. But you're seeing that Horford can give you 12 to 15 points operating from that baseline over there, 10 feet away from the basket.
Yeah, but he can easily be 18 feet out. Or if you want to go further out, 22 feet for the three. But I don't think there's any. There are times when I agree with you, he can work the low block. There are times, and you know Embiid, you know his game. He's not going to go down every possession in the low block. You don't have the win for that. So he also is a guy that has tremendous hands, and he can shoot it from up top.
So, I agree with you. And let me ask you this question.
Sure, Tom.
Let me ask you this question. Would you trade, I want to put this out there.
All right.
Would you trade Ben and Thibault for Devin Booker?
No. I'm not.
You wouldn't do that?
Nope.
Hmm.
I wouldn't do it. Listen, Devin Booker's a hell of a player. I get why you want Devin Booker. He could score. He's fluid. I think, and I'm not trading Ben and Thibault for
Devin
Booker.
Don't get me wrong. And I'm not out on Ben. I'm just saying, Ben, if you do put Ben in a trade, it has to be for a player like Booker.
I agree. You know I mean, listen, I hear what you're saying. And Devin Booker's not D'Angelo Russell. Like, I heard this D'Angelo Russell nonsense, drives
that's
me
nonsense.
Insane.
That's nonsense.
Exactly.
Devin Booker's a great,
I agree. He's a hell of a player. I feel you. He's a hell of a player. I like this team, Tone. I really do. I understand about some spacing issues with the three of them. I think that's true. I think it's real. And I got to work through that. But I like this team. I like their length. I love their defense. I think in the playoffs, when you defend every possession, I think you'll see them be even more dominant. I think you'll see their dominance.
I understand. I got one other question for you.
Yeah, Tom.
The Eagles.
Yeah.
What do you think their first round pick should be? Should it be
wide receiver?
What position?
Receiver.
Wide receiver. Do you think the draft is deep enough where you can go wide receiver later and address something else that the elephant in the room?
What's the elephant in the room? Who do you want to take?
We don't draft no backers, man.
Linebacker.
No linebacker.
I hear you. And look, I think they need backers, but that's always down on my lists. So I look at positions of need. You look at corner, right? You look at left tackle. Edge pass rusher.
Let me say this to you, Aaron.
Yeah.
Cut me off.
Yeah.
Check this out. If you address the backer situation, that's going to help your defense completely. Because now, if you get two studs in the middle with Malik Jackson and Fletcher Cox playing both A and B gap, if you get two stud linebackers, you can play the run with six and drop five.
Our corners are
not that bad. Where if we really drop in five, we play a lot of man-to-man on the outside. That's why we look bad, man.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And Tom, great call, man. Always fun talking to you, brother. I just look at it like this, right? I need playmaker with a first-round pick, whether it's offense or defense. And unless you're getting me, Ray Lewis in the middle that's going side to side, which... And you know that position is devalued. It just is. With all the passing that goes on. I know there's some teams that run the ball and the whole thing. But that position is devalued. I would agree. They definitely need a mother backer without a doubt. I want a playmaker. And I want to get Carson. I think this draft is deep. I want two receivers out of it. And I want to take one of the best. I'm going first round receiver, and I'm finally getting a stud. And I want Wentz to have his guy to grow with.
Yeah, things got worse for me last night with this whole J.J. Arcega-Whiteside stuff because the checkdown, a great football account, posted the videos of some highlight plays from the best rookie wide receivers this year, and they had DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, Deebo Samuel, Hollywood Brown, your boy, who you were. A big advocate for.
I know, like Hollywood Brown.
Deontay Johnson, Terry McLaurin, Darius Slayton, Mecole Hardman, N'Keal Harry, Steven Sims, and Hunter Renfro.
Yeah.
Arcega Whiteside was not in that little highlight package.
And nor did you expect him to be.
No. You want a little Coach O?
Yeah, give me some Coach O.
This was my favorite Coach O moment. His players were practicing during a press conference, and he stopped the press conference to yell at them and then just went back into it as if nothing happened.
John Embry, another great young man from Destrehan, Louisiana. Hold on a second.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you.
Great young man. So proud that we have him. Great parents. And we wanted to get bigger.
Oh, my God.
He just goes
awesome.
Right back into his answer, too.
That's the best. That is the best.
I'm having a press conference. Thank you.
Hey, guys. He's the greatest. He's the greatest. Oh, my God. All right, let's talk about Parks Casino, shall we? Home of Cuz's Corner. That's right. Every week, the 4-for-4 casino of choice. Whether at the beautiful sports book, Street Road Bend Salem, any of the racing sports books, South Philly or Oaks, or online at parkscasino.com/PA. Let's take a gander at Parks Casino's sportsbook app. You go there, use promo code GREEN, and you get $500 free credit. Here you go. You ready, Tunis? Look at this. The odds to win the Atlantic Division. The Sixers are an underdog.
All right.
Plus 150 to win the division.
Hungry dogs run faster.
I got to tell you, I love that. I love that. They are 9-1 to win the title. They're plus 250 to win the Eastern Conference. I got to tell you, I love this. Sixers at plus 150 to win the division. They could definitely still win the division. I'm looking at MVP. You ready? Freak is the favorite at minus 139. But Luke is 4-1. I think that's worth something.
Four!
And then AD is 14-1. Harden, who just is a pump, puts up crazy numbers, as you know, is at 5-1. Embiid's 500-1. That's all on Parks. You have so much fun. All kinds of futures and all kinds of stuff. Just go to parkscasino.com/PA. Download the app. Got to be 21, PA only. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, by the way, we got to do something about the Bring the Heat line. I want the people to chime in on this. What we want to do with it. Because we're going to have a meeting about it next week. You know what I'm saying?
Very sophisticated meeting you and I will have.
Like we did the other day.
Yeah, no beer.
No beer.
No, there will be beer.
You're damn right there will be beer. Are you nuts? Pretty Heat, brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Winter's here. It's cold outside. If your heating system is not evenly or efficiently heating your home, you need help. Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer in your area today. Because it's hit or miss.
I think it's always great.
I like the kind of skits and bits and stuff like that.
Well, it's also different now because, unfortunately, Eagle season's over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the idea of the constant bitching, you know, I like it more to be more humorous, right? A little bit funnier. A little bit more creative and interesting. All right. Let's everybody sit tight. We're going to get right back to the phones. But first, joining us from ESPN, does a great job covering the birds. Oh, and it's over. We're going to miss these Fridays talking to T-Mac. T-Mac, it's the last Friday.
And it's kind of sad. I mean,
I'm sad.
Yeah. You know, the nature of that job, too. It's like you get in this routine, you know, every Wednesday at the NovaCare Complex, you have Thursday, Friday, you get your whole routine set up, and it just stops. I mean, I'm sure it feels even much more striking for players and coaches. But you know, that's the nature of the beast.
It's such a sprint, you know, like that season, because we wait for it. But, you know, all right, you know, training camp hits, and then boom, season's on you, and then all of a sudden, the holidays, and it's over. And you're like, I already missed it. Like, I already missed it. There's still 4 playoff games coming up this weekend, and I missed the sport.
I know. I mean, yeah, you go through some serious withdrawal with football, too. So it's going to be a long off season, but also probably a pretty eventful one that should keep us entertained.
Well, that's true. Let's get down to business. And, of course, it will be the Eagles' search for an offense coordinator. First of all, T-Mac, make some sense at what transpired. I mean, obviously, we all heard the news conference. We played it over and over and over again, and we got Doug's tone, and we got, you know, how he was spoke with a lot of certitude that Groh and Walsh would be back, and then, of course, they weren't. And what's your take on it? Jeffrey Lurie stepping in. What's your vibe here?
Yeah, Peterson created a lot of confusion by the way that he handled that press conference, and he's kind of admitted that, you know, he didn't handle it very well. That's led to a lot of confusion and a lot of speculation. Essentially, my read on it is that he was being protective of Groh and Walsh before the final verdict kind of came down and went too far, clearly, in defense of them, kind of recognized what he did and started going the other direction. And the opportunity to go in the other direction was when started talking about Jim Schwartz. So it created this kind of thought in people's minds that, okay, well, Groh and Walsh are coming back per Doug, but Schwartz is on shaky ground, when really it was kind of the opposite. So it was just like a mishandling publicly by Peterson, which has created all these different perceptions. But I don't think it's like he was dead set on Groh and Walsh coming back and then Lurie came over the top. Like, that's not how I view it at all. I think that Peterson pretty well knew what was going to be going down, but he's a loyal guy who likes to defend his assistants, and he just did it kind of in a poor way.
Well, do you believe this? Because Jeff McClain reported that Jeffrey Lurie had made his mind up in December that Groh would not be back and Walsh would not be back, that it was one of these deals where he is loyal and that he was trying to go to bat for his guys.
So I think both things can be true. I think that that Jeffrey Lurie may very well have decided in his mind in December that these two assistant coaches would not return. That's different than him pounding that or going against Peterson's wishes. Lurie is more involved, I think, than people really recognize. I mean, and this has been true for a handful of years where he has been more hands-on than certainly I think the public is aware of. But
and you can speak to you could speak to the draft as well when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
These guys are saying the draft.
Yeah, especially the ones where it involves quarterbacks. I mean, he has tried to make himself, an expert or as close to it as he can, or at least a student, maybe we should say. That's probably the appropriate term for it, on the quarterback position. And he was very much involved when it came to the big decision to get Carson Wentz. And he watches film. He meets with the coaches, with the head coach. I mean, so he is involved. And any perception that Lurie is like a passive owner really should be wiped away, because that's just not how it is. At the same time, I don't think that he is undermining his head coach. I don't think that he is making him go against his will, particularly when it comes to the coaching staff. That doesn't mean that Lurie or Roseman wouldn't have influence or input on which coaches come in or which coaches go out, but I don't think it happens without the blessing of Peterson.
So more collaborative.
Yeah, I would say so. But I feel like they give Peterson a decent amount of control when it comes to his coaching staff, because that's his area of expertise. And I think that they've done a good job of allowing experts to be experts in their department. I think that's one of the big ways in which this organization has been successful in recent years, is kind of recognizing that. And I think Peterson delegates appropriately, knows where his boundaries are, knows where strengths are. Personnel is handled by personnel people. And in reverse, I think they allow coaching to be handled by coaches. So it's not like they don't have a say in it, but I think they let him kind of take the charge when it comes to the coaching staff.
All right, so let's talk about the, before we get into possible candidates for the OC gig, what's your feeling about Schwartz? If he doesn't get Cleveland, I don't think he's going to, is there a chance he gets a Cleveland DC gig where he's like the assistant DC? Do you think that would be best for Jim at this point with this team?
My understanding is that he's still under contract, and so I don't think he'd be allowed to by the Eagles to kind of take a parallel move.
Well, he'd have to get the assistant head coach. If he got that tag, then he could leave.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But I think the intention of the Eagles is to keep him in house, and barring him becoming head coach, I think that's the way it's going to shake out.
Okay, so in other words, you still think that Doug wants him back as DC. He want that there is not a, because there's a kind of like perceived, riff is too hard a word, but you know, he's a big personality. We know what kind of personality he is, and sometimes that could be off-putting to the head coach.
He is absolutely a dominant type of personality. He's an alpha male who I think has worked pretty well not to step on too many toes. I think that, you know, certainly when you have that type of person as a presence in your building, it's not like he can't like bottle that up. So, you know, I mean, during the course of the season, you know, maybe there are some things that crop up, but really what has happened here, in my opinion, is that Peterson has created his own perception problem when it comes to Schwartz. I think that he has full intention on bringing him back.
Okay.
I think he really kind of misspoke.
All right. Give me a couple candidates that you think. We hear about Jim Caldwell as one. Give me some of the other ones that you think might be out there, might be in play.
So the two that I have heard is Jim Caldwell and Kevin O'Connell. So Caldwell, he was the head coach of the Colts. He was the play caller when the Ravens went on their run. Joe Flacco actually had a lot of success with him.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and even Matthew Stafford, I think, went to his only Pro Bowl under Caldwell.
I think Caldwell helped Stafford a ton.
Yeah, I agree. And even, you know, he was in Miami this past year, and Fitzpatrick, given what was surrounding him, I thought played pretty well also. And so we know that that's a priority of the Eagles, is to have somebody that's like a quarterback whisperer, has played the position, has coached the position. That was true with Frank Reich. That was true with Mike Groh. I think it'll be true in this next hire as well. And I think that Caldwell brings you know, that area of expertise and experience that might work well here. So I don't dislike that thought really at all. And then O'Connell is kind of on the flip side in terms of he's 34 years old. He was the Washington OC this past year, but he, like Caldwell, has the expertise in the quarterbacks. He's the quarterback's coach in Cleveland. And with Washington, he played the position for a handful of years in the NFL. And so those are the two names that I have heard. There's a possibility that interviews come down next week for those two, but those are the two that have surfaced as far as my intel goes.
Tim McManus with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Some business you just tweeted out that Josh McCown played the second half of the torn hamstring.
Yeah, and he's scheduled to have surgery on Tuesday, is my understanding. He injured it in the first half. We know that he was running around quite a bit in that half, the memorable 11-yard gain down the right sideline that set up that Jake Elliott field goal late in the first half. And, yeah, my understanding is that he played basically the entire second half on a torn hamstring. They didn't have any other quarterbacks to go to, and McCown went out there and gutted it out. But now he's facing surgery, and that puts further questions on the 40-year-old as to whether he's going to be able to come back for another year. Could be about 6 months recovery time, at least from what one source said to me. And you know, so I don't know that he's going to be able to go or is going to want to go through it again. He talked at the end of the season at that postgame press conference about, you know, your body talks differently to you at 40 years old, and now we have further clarity on what he was saying.
Just curious. What are her feelings about Nate Sudfeld? Did they kind of fall out of love with him? Not that they were in stone in love, but did they kind of fall out of like with him?
I think that they needed to see more, and they didn't get that opportunity because of injury. Like, they liked him, but they weren't fully confident because they hadn't seen enough of him in like a game setting. which set up their push to get McCown in the fold. And now you get the situation where Sudfeld is a restricted free agent. And so offers could come in that could end up pricing them out. So, I mean, just by their moves alone, it doesn't suggest like they were like, yes, stone cold, we need this guy. Yeah, he's the number two. He can get the job done. I mean, they brought McCown in over him, even though Sudfeld was going to be ready probably, what, like 3-4 games into the regular season. So so that at least says a little something. And the fact that he's a restricted free agent puts a question mark over his head, whether he will return, whether the Eagles will be able to retain him.
Hey, one other guy I'm just curious about, you know, maybe it's back at quarterbacks or maybe it's for the OC job, but DeFilippo, who's now out of job because of Jacksonville, is he out of the job or is he coming? Is he staying there?
I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure.
Would they bring him back?
It's not a name that I've heard. I mean, honestly, the only two names that I've heard are O'Connell and Caldwell. Yeah. My understanding is that it's going to be a short list.
I was just curious how they felt about DeFilippo.
Yeah. No, I mean, he obviously did some good things here, so it's not a bad thought. My understanding was those two guys were the ones that are immediately on the radar of the Eagles. They're still contemplating whether to interview a couple of the in-house guys like Press Taylor and Deuce Staley.
Right.
As of yesterday, that decision hadn't been decided. But that's kind of where they're at.
Quickly, just a couple personnel things. Your best guess, they work things out with Malcolm?
Man, I mean, that's one of the biggest questions of this offseason. I'm a little bit surprised that it hasn't been worked out yet. Like, what are they waiting on? And I can't imagine that it's been very pleasing to Jenkins to see all these different guys get paid in season, and his name just still hasn't come up. I mean, the problem is he's scheduled to make $7.5 million, and the top guys at his spot are making $14 million now. So yeah. The Eagles are going to have to come up. But so I think it's still very much a coin flip. I don't know what the answer is to that yet.
Peters.
There's another good one. My answer to that would be depending on what the money is, because you have to be careful about your resource allocation. You put a first round pick into Andre Dillard. You already have your right tackle set up. At some point, especially, you know, Howie Roseman stated as much, you're going to have to go through a youth movement here. At one point or another, you're just going to have to say goodbye. You know, the other part of that, though, is that high-end tackle play is very hard to come by. And I don't know, like, can you be fully sold that Dillard's the guy at left tackle?
Right.
Does he need another year? And so that's why some people are just automatically dismissing the notion of Peters coming back. And I'm not fully there yet because of, one, the respect for that the organization has. Like, he and Jeffrey Lurie are best friends. You know, the fact that he's still playing at a pretty high level, and it sort of probably depends on what the money is and really how high they remain on Dillard.
Let me ask you about Alshon. How do you read that situation with the big cap hit?
So my thought is that he won't suit up in an Eagles uniform again. I think that it's time to turn that page in terms of what you see on the field. You know, the chemistry between him and Wentz just wasn't good. And I think that you saw kind of this infusion of energy when the younger guys came in at that position in particular. And I don't think that's, you know, just happenstance. So I don't think that Jeffrey is going to be kind of a part of the equation. But the issue is that he's guaranteed for next year, and now he's got this injury, which is going to carry into next year. So however they handle it, he might technically still be on the roster. They might end up just dumping him whenever, you know, they're able to. Or trading them away, so it might be a saga that's not like done, but I don't think he's going to play with Wentz again.
Yeah, so could you theoretically, if the injury lasts in the next year, could that be an insurance deal?
I mean, these contracts are guaranteed, if nothing else, for injury, so I think that they're going to be on the hook for it.
Right.
And then it's just going to be a matter of, you know, are they able to cut bait? And then
you know, you have those insurance, those policies where you can actually, you know, throw it off of that and write that off in that sense.
Yeah, I don't know if insurance is going to come into play, but maybe offset language will, where they can recoup some of the money if he goes on to another team.
Yeah, I think you're dead right about that. I don't see how he comes back. I don't in any which way. T-Mac, great stuff, man. I already miss you. So we're going to be bothering you, though, during the season, during the offseason. You know that.
That's fine. You know, the season never really ends around here.
No.
You know that.
No, exactly. Exactly. You do such a wonderful job, man. And keep it up, and we love you. You know that, T-Mac.
Thank you so much, and likewise. I'll talk to you soon, all right?
Hey, buddy. Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline. Chunas, we have baseball news?
Yep. From Jeff Passan of ESPN, Chris Bryant and the Cubs have settled on a one-year $18.6 million deal.
Really?
Yep.
Damn.
All in on Arenado now.
I wanted Chris Bryant. I actually thought that had some real legs.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Now, he could, I guess, get traded still. I mean, they just settled on a deal.
He's not getting traded.
Yeah, I know.
It's your boy, man. What's your boy doing?
Klentak?
Yeah.
He's not my boy. I have a surprise for you that'll cheer you up in a little bit.
You do?
Yeah. On the other side, as they say.
Okay. All right.
It got me fired up.
Really?
I have music and everything for you.
All right. I'm looking forward to my Sixer trip, but other than that.
But this will be a nice send-off.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I got to get to the airport, so you're going to be coming in about 1:20.
All right.
1:30, whatever. All right.
Okay. I got this.
You got it?
Phillies baseball, all 30 minutes.
All right, we got a couple open lines. As what happens, we have guests. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. If you want to grab them, we got a couple Sixer conversations going on. And, of course, Eagles firmly in play. Let's talk about DeFino Law for a second. Now, I know these guys real well. Grew up with Vince and Mike DeFino. And I'm going to ask you a question, because they're wonderful lawyers. You know, sometimes life happens and you need a lawyer, right? Now, when you need a lawyer to quarterback your case, don't you want to work with a local firm? A law firm born and raised in Philadelphia with a team of highly experienced lawyers who answer your call right away. They brawl for you in court. You know what I mean? That's what I talk about with Vince and Mike DeFino. Great no-nonsense guys, fantastic lawyers. The name DeFino means something in this area. When it comes to Philadelphia law, it goes back to Judge DeFino. They hit hard for their clients. They're right on Broad Street with a loyal local team of heavy-hitting attorneys that tackle the tough issues, get the most for their clients. You call DeFino Law, you're going to be sitting and talking to a real lawyer right away. Not referred to the assembly line, some strange office with a lawyer you never met. For over 60 years, they've been fighting for working people all over Philadelphia. So whether you had a personal injury at work, an auto accident, a slip and fall, I have a loved one who's a victim of a wrongful death, an estate or criminal matter, get to know DeFino Law, 215-551-9099, 215-551-9099, and let a real Philadelphia law firm fight for you, DeFinoLawyers.com.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
On a footballless Friday for us. All is put into bed, you know, our guests. You know what's interesting? Now I'm looking at Tyrone. And I'm a big fan of the Mike Mish show. I always listen to the Mike Mish show. When it comes to sports, I'm overly sentimental. Mike is not. Like, Mike's got no sentimentality when it comes to sports. Like, it was funny because I'm looking at it because I was thinking about the game, right? And I'm going, you know, it sucks. Like, the thing that I just can't go over the game is that it's over, right? Like, this piece of finality. And it was taken from you, right? Like, unfairly by that hit and the injury. And Mike's point was, you know, it's football and stuff like that happens, and it is what it is. And he's right. Like, he's dead right. But I still have this sense of kind of loss. Like, the idea of, oh, it's Football Friday. Look at something stupid and as innocuous as looking at the temperature in Green Bay. Oh, it's going to be 22 degrees high in Green Bay. The high, it's going to be in the teens when it dips down below on Sunday evening. Could you imagine Eagles Packers Sunday night? It's cold. We're doing the Revenant. And that's sort of sentimentality. Like, I attach that. And that's why I'm half bummed out today.
I got to cheer you up.
All right, what do you got?
Well, first, we have a pair of tickets to give away to the contest line.
That's right.
215-263-0975.
Let's hold on. Before we give out the phone number to the contest line, let's tell the people what it is that they're winning. They have a chance right now to win some Temple basketball tickets. That's right, little TU Hoops. Aaron McKee. Owls tomorrow, take on Tulane, all hot dogs at the game, just a buck. Visit owlsticks.com and Top Rank returns to the Hard Rock Hotel Atlantic City. See light heavyweight contender Jesse Hart go head-to-head with Joe Smith Jr. tomorrow. Tickets available at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Atlantic City box office online, ticketmaster.com.
So can we do caller number 9? And there's a reason why. Again, the number 215-263-0975. Caller number 9. Because I have something that's going to cheer you up. I just realized it wasn't his first one. And that's kind of, but it's the first time I saw it, and that's why I got really excited. Joe Lunardi put out Bracketology today.
Oh, did he really? Wow, that's kind of cool.
And you know, it's the first time I got really pumped, because now that the Eagles are done, Joel Embiid's out, I need something else to look forward to. So we got Bracketology. We're 67 days away, Anthony. And the reason why I said call number 9 is because Rutgers basketball coming in at 9. So a lot of happy people. Dylan McKinnon and Tyrone Johnson in the house right now.
Number 9?
Number 9 in the Western bracket facing Houston.
Wow.
In the first round.
What does he got, Nova?
He's got Nova.
Like, I don't care about Rutgers. Like, you know.
Well, I mean, there's some happy people around here. He's got a Nova 4th against New Mexico State.
So they're a 4 seed?
4 seed right now. Play New Mexico State. And if they win, they move on to face either Michigan or Duquesne.
How about Temple?
Not on there.
So I was afraid of that.
I was too.
Especially since you didn't lead with that.
You're playing games right now. Let's see if you get interested by these. LSU-Purdue for the Western Bracket, the 11th seed playing game. And then NC State-Washington in the Midwest Bracket to face the 6th seed, Penn State.
Wow. Penn State's a 6th seed?
6th seed.
Yeah, well, doing a good job, Pat Chambers.
Does this cheer you up at all?
No.
No, really? Wow.
I love the music, but I'm not over football yet.
Yeah, it's something to look forward to.
I mean, March is a long way away, Holmes.
It's only 67 days away. I'll be here before you know it.
For a tournament?
67 days, man.
We're going to go through a whole winter.
It's something to look forward to.
Dude, you know what a psycho you are? That you have that room in there is 50 degrees.
40 now.
It's 40 degrees.
Yes.
I walk in there. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, it feels great. That's why I get yelled at by the afternoon crew. Natalie and Tyrone, they're always angry.
I don't blame them. You keep it at 40.
I try to turn it up around 1:30 before they come in so it warms up a little bit. 30 minutes
man,
before the
poor Nat's got a blanket.
Well, dress warmer next time.
She's got to bring a blanket in here.
Feels great in
it's
here.
It's 40 degrees.
Literally freezes me out. My hands turn into icicles. I have to wear this blanket.
Yeah,
I turn it up.
Oh, it's true, though. It's free. I walked in there. I got a t-shirt. I walk in. I was like, what the hell?
Hey, man.
I felt like I just walked into, like, talk about Alaska.
10-2. This is my home.
Do you keep your house like that too?
We have the heat at 64.
64?
Yeah.
That's the heat, like, all day long?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.